Hello and welcome to Ahead of the Curve. This is Jonathan Gellner, and thank you for being here. This episode is brought to you by Baseball Cloud. Go to baseballcloud.com to find out how you can have your own data analytics department for your program. Data has a story to tell, and Baseball Cloud gives it a voice. In this episode, I speak with former Major League All-Star and current high school head coach, Billy Wagner. Billy gives some great insight on what he has learned in his career that he has brought back to the Miller School. And this episode is so good. So here is Billy Wagner. Billy, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Well, I'm kind of geeked out a little bit right now because I used to love to watch you pitch. And you used to throw absolute gas. Now it feels like everybody's throwing 100 today.
Yeah, it's not a big thing anymore. Now I watch Chapman and Kimbrel, and I mean, everybody throws like that. Back in the day, it was a unique thing because you had Dibble, you didn't have many guys that did it. And, you know, if you had two guys on the team, you were really saying something. But, I mean, I was fortunate to have Brad Lidge and Octavio Dotel. And, I mean, they were mid to upper. And so it was fun to, you know, to have that. And that was unique. And now if you ain't got two or three guys in there throwing it, then you're not a very good bullpen.
Right, definitely. And I used to tell our kids, like our players, the story about just having just absolute want to. And I used to use you as an example because you actually grew up right-handed and, you know, talking off the mic, you actually do everything right-handed. But talk to us about how you developed being able to throw left-handed.
Well, I was very young when I broke my arm the first time, and I was playing football and broke my arm in a cast. So you got to figure out how to play as a kid and get around. So, you know, being that only allows you to be left-handed. So got the cast off. A little while later, broke my elbow, right arm, in a cast. So you just got, you know, that sort of time, you know, I think I was in between 4 or 5 years old. So, you know, you're resilient. And so I think that had a lot to do with it. But I was also rambunctious. So I was going to figure out, in my family, we played football. We did a lot of things. I mean, all my uncles were football and baseball players. And so I was going to find a way to mix up with those guys. And so that, you know, just really that blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they always say the Lord works in mysterious ways. Well, that was one of them because it kind of gave me that opportunity to be on a podium, to speak for him and to, you know, speak to baseball and for the little guy that comes from a small town and can go out there and you know, make it and be something substantial. So, you know, that's just a freak thing that worked out.
No, I truly like that a lot. And, you know, earlier I spoke about, you know, mixing BP and coach pitch scrimmages, and those would be a little bit more interesting with you on the mound, I think.
Well, I still like to compete, and so, but I mean, now it's a little different. Now, when I first got back to when I started coaching, I would scrimmage with them. Yeah. I'm going to face you guys. I'm going to pitch, and you guys have got, and you know, and I still was throwing, you know, 90, and so it was still, you know, good. Now it's not quite as stuff. So now you have hack machines and stuff,
but yeah, definitely.
But it's still, you know, the competition that I enjoy is what I see with the kids. You know, I don't. My competitiveness goes through the kids, not through me at third base or whatever. And so I think I still enjoy that, but not the way, or I don't feel that I have to be that way anymore.
Sure. And, you know, it is really cool. You've obviously got built-in street cred whenever you've been at the highest level and you're able to come back and tell these kids, hey, this is what it takes to get there. And whenever you're having those conversations, what do you necessarily tell those guys? Because obviously a lot of big leaguers are a lot bigger, a lot stronger, more mentally tough. But what are some of the things that you tell your kids? If you truly want to play at the highest level, what do you tell them?
Right place, right time. It really is. It's, you know, you got to be lucky. You got to have one somebody like you enough to take that chance. But it's putting yourself in the right situation. It's, you know, going out there and sacrificing the Friday and Saturday nights and putting in the extra miles on the road running or lifting or focusing or just staying in, getting your rest. And I did that. I worried about those things because I never felt good enough. Mm-hmm. And you know, the guys that always feel good enough, they're the ones who, you know, they're the reason I got to where I was at. The guys that took that break are the guys that I jumped. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and that's what I preach is the consistency of working and sacrificing and just the due diligence of what you want. And if not everybody's going to get to the big leagues, not everybody's going to get drafted, not everybody's going to but there's ways to get to what you want to do. I want to be around baseball, so I'm going to coach. Or I want to be around minor league baseball. Well, I may you know, work on the staff. But there's a way to be around that, enjoy the game and love the game. But loving the game is another big part for these kids nowadays. It, you know, we talked all so far all weekend that, about the analytics and the measurables and stuff like that. But, you know, what they keep forgetting to talk about is the heart.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I wasn't throwing as hard as I did at the end of my career. And guess what? I had to find a way to beat that guy.
Sure.
And so at 78 miles an hour, I had to go out there and figure out, I want to win. I wasn't worried about my spin rate or my axis turn or whatever. You know, I was worried about getting that guy out. And
definitely,
so the measurables were my heart and my desire to win. Now, that might not be, you know, something, and we battle that today with our recruiting, is that that's not something that you can project. I mean, there was not a lot of colleges beating down my door to come play. And so now it's even worse because of Twitter and the social media and the ability to go out there and really, you know, magnify yourself. But loving the game enough that you're going to sacrifice those things and spend more time in the weight room or work on the field doing sprints or working on base stealing or just, you know, mechanical stuff. But there is a time that you have to step back and do something else. But, I mean, there is the sacrifice of playing.
Definitely. And, you know, that's something that was it innate in you that you grew up wanting to be competitive?
I don't, my family was very competitive, and
okay.
I mean, you know, being small in stature, you know, I think that was another thing. On my father's side, I'm like one of the smallest guys, and on my mother's side, I'm the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's that desire to want to be good. There's that desire to, and I mean, no matter how it starts, to be accepted, to feel like you're somebody. I mean, we all have, you know, that crutch that we have to use to get to what we want. But that was one of my things. Hey, you may be bigger, but you ain't gonna outwork me. And so that was sort of how it went. So I ran that extra sprint, or I tried to do that extra rep, and I did the extra because I knew that I couldn't compete with you by just showing up.
Sure, sure. And now you're in the position to where you can want that for them, but you can't do it for them.
Right.
Now, how do you get that across to your kids? Is it a conversation that you have, or is that really something that we can train?
Well, it's consistency. And we talk about it a lot. I mean, I tell them all the time, you know, I can't want it for you. I can't make it happen, but I can go out there and show you how to do it, but I can't make you do it.
Right.
And there'll be those kids that get it. And it happens. It'll be the guys that get it later, and it works out. But there's sometimes it's just guys that just doesn't, you know, translate. And
right.
You just hope they have a fun high school career and enjoy that experience. And you know we try to analyze all of our kids as being professional athletes. And really, we, you know, my oldest son, he's loved baseball more than anything as well. I mean, he takes more BP ground balls. He's a sophomore at Liberty, and you know, he loves it. I mean, he tells me when I'm done, I'm coaching. When I'm, you know, he already knows. But you know, there's other guys. You know, it's just, you know, I play because I'm that's what I do.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
But there's, you know, there's those special type of kids, and then there's those, some are just freaking, they're just really good. I mean, when I was in high school, I played football. I wanted to be a football player, and I went to college to play football. And the next thing you know, guys were bigger, and it hurt a lot more. And you know, I wasn't good. I mean, I could play, but it was just I was much better in baseball. And,
sure.
And I matured and grew, and so the path was laid for me. And I had people around me that were smarter than me to say, "Hey, listen, this is where you need to go." So, I mean, you know, that comes back to that luck of the draw.
Yeah. So something that I'm really interested in hearing from you is just being at the big leagues and being at the highest level. What have you taken from that and brought to the high school level? And is there a difference and how you run things versus how things were run for you whenever you were playing?
Well, I tell you, Coach Perry down in Tazewell gave me the greatest example of how to be a coach.
Okay.
And it was with a lot of love and a kick in the butt here and there, and you know, putting that arm around you and understanding that sometimes playing and working as hard as you can, just that doesn't guarantee you a win.
Sure.
And so, and then each step going to Ferrum and being around Abe Naft and where he was, his competitiveness and his desire to win was a big draw for us and for me. And I mean, I fed off of his competitiveness. And then each step I took with a new manager in pro ball, you know, they had these things that kind of, that's what I wanted to be, or that's how I wanted things to be. And then there was things, you know, I'm not going to do that. But I think that when I come back to be a high school coach, I've got all this knowledge of saying this game's hard.
Yeah,
this game's really hard. And so I can't sit here and expect these kids to be pro athletes. And I don't, you know, I don't want them to feel like that's that type of job. I want them to understand what a what the character and the workmanship and the sacrifice it's going to take to get to college, and let that be the stepping stone. And so just allowing them to be kids and giving them the consistency of every day working out and building on it, and, you know, having, you know, and I've had some really great kids that have had chances that may go on to get drafted and play pro ball, but not everybody's going to do it.
Right.
And, you know, I think one of the biggest things is I had a teammate, Chris Holt at Ferrum, and he told me one of the biggest things that was for him that he learned was how to enjoy other people's success.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And so I try to talk to our kids about being happy for those people, so that when your time comes, you can play it forward, and people will be happy for you.
Definitely. And so you're very intentional whenever you're playing about taking it all in. I guess is that pretty accurate?
Well, I wanted to be smarter than I was, really. I mean, I just, when you're around successful people, you want to be successful.
Sure.
And, you know, knowing what works and knowing your personality, and I'm a type A person, and learning how to throttle that down a little bit to be, you know, a mentor, a coach, a friend, somebody, you know, that was more important to me than, I'm a disciplinarian and stuff at a point, but I'm a leader to these kids, and, you know, in how I go about my life and my religion, my faith, and, you know, and trying to show them how to go the right way and live a moral and have values and know that there's sacrifice in everything we do, because, you know, all of us won't be professional athletes. We're gonna be 9-to-5 workers, and that's okay.
Right.
And know that we're gonna love you no matter what you are. It's just you gotta work for what you want.
Sure. And you're living that example of what you want them to be, and they're always watching us.
Always. When Brian O'Connor talks, or Paul Inari talks, when Randy Tomlin, any of us that people are looking up to, and that moms and dads, there's somebody looking at how they want to be, and they taking little bits and pieces to be better, and that's what we're hoping to, and you know, and not always are we have that shining moment, but I hope if when we're not having that shining moment, they're going, I don't want to be like that, and
sure.
That maybe that's something that's going to make them better.
Right. And, you know, one thing I want to ask you, and the reason I did is because, again, it's very cool that you played in the major leagues, but you also played at a very high level, and you got to learn from so many good coaches. And, you know, what is something that really helped you as a player during your career that you can look back and go, you know, that helped me so much that now I want to pass that down to the kids?
Well, a lot of it just, we were talking earlier when I was talking in our convention, was that what I learned a lot from the coaches was that you responded better when there was trust involved.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
When Bobby Cox was a player's manager, Jimmy Williams, Charlie Manuel, Terry Collins, the guys that gave you the opportunity and had your back and things like that, you battled. You know, you felt, you know, but there was teammates that were also there to kind of help you through some of those times where every athlete is insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, it was from Donnie Wall in AAA and A-ball, and AAA and big leagues, to Scott Ellerton, to Tom Glavine, to all along, you know, Chipper Jones and guys like that you know, would give you confidence to, you know, having that, you know, that pecking order. But everybody needs those people to be around them, and putting yourself around the right people that are going to build you up rather than break you down, because social media and stuff has a way of, if you want to see how bad what people think of you, you ain't going to look very far, because
sure.
They'll let you know. And so, you know, but I think that's what I've tried to work with these kids, of just knowing what all this entails, and you know, hopefully learning from some of the greatest people I've been around.
Definitely. And you got the opportunity to work with, you know, a fantastic pitching coach, fantastic pitching staff. And so from the pitching side, what ideas can we steal from those guys through you?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I got from those guys, and watching Pedro, watching Glavine, watching Hudson, watching Daryl Kyle, Shane Reynolds, you know, Randy Johnson, and when we played together, all these guys, consistency in what they did every day. It was they weren't trying to reinvent, they were trying to perfect that craft and really perfecting that craft comes with that price tag. If I'm gonna be committed every day to do this every single day, and so, you know, and that's what we talk about with our young guys is there is a point in time where you have to take that 10-day step back and take that deep breath. But I got to be consistent with what I'm doing, and being consistent, not throwing 100 pitches every day. It's the quality of what I'm doing, not the quantity of what I'm doing. And so, you know, that's what I've learned from those guys, and also, you know, that sometimes that 80%, if I give 100% of that 80, it's as good as me giving 100%, because you don't have that every day. But having the mentality to go out there and compete and compete and compete and not be worried about losing and not thinking about losing is, you know, what athletes do.
For sure. So with those guys too, and every one of those guys that you mentioned, they are vastly different in all of their approaches. But yes, that was the one thing that stuck out, that they all did the same.
They all. I mean, Pedro Martinez would throw over 100 pitches warming up four games.
Crazy.
Tom Glavine and Tim Hutchin and Derek Lowe, 20-25 pitches. The unit, he wouldn't throw very much. He, you know, he would throw bullpens on flat ground down third baseline. There was things that work for everybody, and you have to figure out what that is and what's your niche, and, you know, take a little bit from here and a little bit there, and you got to be willing to take constructive criticism and understand that it's to make you better. And that's a very hard thing for an athlete to do, is say, yeah, you know, you weren't, yeah, I mean, how many times I've heard, well, you weren't throwing very hard tonight after striking out three guys. Or, you know, you're like, well, why do you say those things? But understand, and, you know, and I've talked to our guys about, listen, you have to understand how to take those things. Just laugh them off and move on. And because, you know, in somebody's eye, you're never going to be good enough. And then in others, you know what, you're going to be better than what you think. So it's just allowing you to be you.
I really like that a lot. And, you know, something that I've had really trouble, and it's kind of along the same similar lines of trying to find what works best for you, but being a guy that comes out of the pen, some of the different players that we have are, they get to a point where they're uncomfortable, because most guys at the youth level, if you're very good, you start. And so what was your mindset whenever you kind of knew you were about to come in, but they were like, hey, Billy, you got to get hot now?
Well, the more I was involved in it, the more I got to really see it coming. And so that made it easier. But seeing it coming, I was a wreck. I was a nervous guy, and I threw up for every game I ever played in. And so I was just, oh my gosh.
Were you a pacer?
And bubble gum and I was a fear of failure guy. And I mean, there was so many things that went through my mind before I ever got on the mound. And by the time I got on the mound, I was furious with myself because of that thought of the failure. And so, you know, and that would motivate me to be the best I could. And, you know, going through that experience and being that type of person that allows me to talk to these kids about it's okay to have that fear as long as you don't let that fear control you. And because, you know, nobody wants to fail, and nobody wants to fail when social media can really blow you up and you feel inadequate. And so, you know, allowing these kids to understand that, you know, it's baseball or it's whatever sport and it's okay and you're going to have off nights and that's being an athlete and being a very good athlete, being the best in the world, like a LeBron James who goes out there and scores 14 points and has to deal with these critics. It's comical, but that's when you really know that you're doing stuff. The biggest
thing
I ever heard was, I can't remember which coach or teammate told me, because have you ever heard them boo a bad player? If you've been booed, you're like, that's cool. That's a neat thing. And so you've got to be able to understand those things. And, you know, and there were so many things in my career that I did not handle well, that being the high school coach, I've been upfront with going, listen, I didn't handle that media situation real well. And this is what I would ask you to do next time. And these types of things that may come up, you need to be watching. And that's, you know, I really feel the Lord has put me in these kids' lives and this opportunity to be able to kind of give direction or some clearance to these kids.
Well, and I love how, to be honest with you, how vulnerable you are. Like, you're talking about all of these different things that were going through your mind, that I guarantee you every single one of your players is thinking the same thing.
Well, it's hard to step on the mound or in the box, and you're at this point where social media has got guys, they're just showing guys going to these big schools, and you're you're stressing and you're pressing and you're doing all these things. And I mean, you might be a late bloomer, and you, there's so many things going through your mind that you're stressed. You're you know, you want to go play, and you know, it's hard to put it into words when it may be you may not get where you want, the way you want that road to take you. So you may have to find a different route to get you where you want. You know, I didn't, you know, when I came out, I didn't know I was going to go to Ferrum. I didn't know I was going to go to the big leagues. I didn't know I was going to be this successful. It was, you know, I really didn't even, that didn't even translate until, you know, later in my career. And I was like, then you start thinking about, God, man, I hope I don't blow this game, or I don't. Yeah. And, you know, and that's, you know, I honestly think I went through these, you know, these mental head games and these things to be able to give advice to these kids that may go on to do something. But that's, you know, that's what I'm, you know, I really think that's why I'm here, and I'm able to talk to college and high school coaches, and really put it in perspective that high school coaches are not trying to, we're not trying to produce Major League Baseball players. We're trying to create guys that have a chance to go play college ball, and you can do the rest. But, you know, it's different nowadays because the bigger schools, they want more developed and defined players that maybe turn down the draft. And so it's really hard. It's really hard to explain to these kids that if you'll go play at Division III, you'll play at Division II or JUCO or whatever, you're good enough to do this. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to worry about just being D1 all the time. And, right. You know, as much as we want to, you know, we want all our players to get scholarships and save money and do all things, you know, sometimes it's just not in the books.
Well, and I love baseball because you can literally come from anywhere and go to the major leagues. And well, you're a living example of that.
Size is not a requirement. Well, like, I mean, in most places. I think it's gotten to the point where we've created that animal of saying you've got to be this and you've got to be able to do that and run this and have these immeasurable numbers to be able to compete at this thing. But, you know, once again, it comes down to I can put the biggest guy on the field and I can, and he can hit home runs 500 miles, but can he compete when it means to? And that's when you have the heart. You can't measure that guy's heart. I can't measure that kid's heart and until he goes out there and shows me that he's willing to do whatever it takes. And so that's that measure of a man and the measure of that kid's heart that's going to make you successful.
And, you know, somebody that comes to mind whenever you're talking about that besides yourself is David Eckstein.
Oh my gosh.
I'll use him for everything. And I got the opportunity to meet him a couple weeks ago.
One of the greatest guys ever.
I don't know him as well as you do. But
well, I'm, you know what? I played against him, and he is one of the greatest guys. I always use him as example, too, because we run against – we coach more guys like him and myself rather than the guys that are monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So – those are the examples. That's why we sit there and look. Yes, there is a chance to this could happen for me. When kids come to Miller and they're we sit down with their parents and I ask them, where do you want to go? What's your plans? What are you thinking? You know, it's about they'll tell you, I want to go play D1 baseball and I want to go get drafted. And I'm like, high five, because you know what? That's their dream, and I'm not going to be that guy. Because there was guys when I was in school going, you're right, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's possible. And you don't have to be anything. You don't have to be a certain size. You've got to have a heart, and you've got to, you know, of course, talent has got to be there. But you got to put in time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good. And, you know, before I let you off the hook here, I want to talk about a little bit about your practices. And this is a question that I ask all the podcast guests, because I'm always looking for something to get the kids excited about practice. We want it to be addicting for them.
Right.
So whenever you show up, let's say you show up next Wednesday and you're like, hey, guys, we're going to do this today. Just the place explodes because they love it. And what would that one or two things be that you guys do?
Well, I'll tell you what we do. Right now we're in the mix of – we do lifts Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so introducing the lifting has made them – they like to walk around and go, hey, man, I look good. I'm you know. And so when we're lifting now, they're and doing cleans or benches or squats or deadlifts or whatever, you know, that hour and 15 minute lift is, I mean, they're excited about putting it on and getting after it, because they know all of a sudden now they start to see, oh man, my exit below is this, or my shirt's a little tighter.
Yeah,
that's that confidence that these young men need. But I mean, Tuesdays and Thursdays we do drills. We do speed drills. We go out and do agility work. And when I ask for them, It's competition.
Yeah.
It's compete. Enjoy yeah. competing. Don't go out there and just go through it, because going through it sucks. Mm-hmm. Baseball practice every day stinks. It's that point where you go out there and you compete every single day with the agility. I'm going to be the best guy doing mm-hmm. doing the tire drill. I'm going to be the best, you know, running through the ropes. Or I'm going to be the best sprint guy, pulling the sled, or doing whatever we do. I'm going to be the best. And creating that challenge, which it becomes contagious. And then that guy's going, you ain't going to beat me. And then next thing you know, when you put it on the field and you're playing against somebody else, now you've got a team full of just baseball players, and that's what you want. Now, you don't have to have the talent. I got to have 9 baseball players, and that's the other thing I tell our guys. I don't need 10. I need 9.
Yeah.
And I want you to be that guy. And so to be that guy, you're going to have to be better than the guy that you may be behind. And so mm-hmm. creating that competitive nature, but playing as many games as we do, allows me to give them the opportunity to play. I mean, I don't play every guy every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would they get their time, and it's 36 games in there. We're high school. I right. got 5 starting pitchers, and if we get rained out, then that guy might get bumped, but you get your time. You get your opportunity. And I mean, everybody wants to be the guy. What you're fighting to be is the guy mm-hmm. who gets the opportunity to pitch in the state championship game. That's what yeah. I tell them. That's who you want to be. And we've been to the state championship 5 times. We've lost 3 and won twice. But each time that guy's gotten the chance, they want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that's being competitive, because I want to be the best guy. I want to be the guy. And so
I think that that's pretty contagious, wouldn't you say?
I mean, because it's leadership. I mean, it's the ability to go out there and make somebody else beside you better. Because
mm-hmm.
I want to be better. And, you know, we tell our kids, find the fastest,
mm-hmm.
challenge him.
Mm-hmm.
Run with him when you run your sprints. Find the guy that's faster than you to run with. Find the guy that wants to lift more and be with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what you're working for and fight for what you want. Don't settle like, well, you know, I'm not going to do this. Because as a baseball coach, we don't have time to sit there and worry all the time about the guy who don't want to put out. The
mm-hmm.
guy who doesn't want to put out, he's not going to get the chance.
Sure.
And so you can always point, and they can always point fingers. The coach didn't give you a chance, but you get a chance every single day you come to practice. Show me that you want it, and show me that you're willing to fight for it. Don't come up and go, Coach, what do I got to do? You got to be better than the guy that's in front of you.
Every
that's
day.
What you got to be every day.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, for our listeners, I'm just going to kind of open up the mic for you and just, you know, ask, is there any advice that you could give to coaches or leave with us that we maybe not have talked about, or just anything, any advice in general?
Well, I mean, you know, the biggest thing that I've learned, is to listen. I've asked for advice. I don't know everything. I've experienced a lot, and I have a lot of great coaching friends that I lean on quite often. And
mm-hmm.
for us to grow our sport, to have good young men, to have a good quality baseball, we need to be able to lean on each other, to help each other out with advice, with whatever we need help with for the kids to make them better. And we need to be able to do that without that feeling of fear that somebody's going to take something from us. It
mm-hmm.
needs to be, hey, you know, let me show you the love and stuff. And you know what? We're not all going to enjoy each other. We're not all going to get along, and that's fine. But we are going to have to work together. So what I've learned is to allow the kids to play the game. Try to direct them the best you can and put them in there. Hug them, kick them in the butt once in a while. But, you know, be there for them and just try to be a good person to each other.
Awesome. Well, Billy, it truly was a pleasure, and thank you for being here today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to Ahead of the Curve. Before you go, I'd love to be able to get in touch with you, and we have several different ways of doing so. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AOTC_podcast. You can join the AOTC Coaches Facebook group. And if you want to be a part of the mini clinic emails, both of those links are listed below. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving us a rating or review to help others find and stay ahead of the curve.